The following programming is sponsored by Bloomer's Home and Garden Center. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Welcome to Bloomers in the Garden. I'm Len Schroeder.
And I'm Julio Zamora.
On today's show, we have a special guest, Sam Lemhenny from the Pennsylvania Horticultural Society.
Sam is the chief of shows and events at PHS and directs the strategy, planning, and execution of all events, including the annual Philadelphia Flower Show.
COVID has changed everything everywhere, and the Flower Show was not immune. Get it? Anyway, they had to move from late winter to late spring, from indoors at the Convention Center to outdoors at FDR Park. An amazing undertaking. And again, this year, the Flower Show is back at FDR Park outside June 11th through the 19th.
The Philadelphia Flower Show has been running for almost 200 years. We're going to ask Sam about the stories beyond the flowers, the personal stories, how the Flower Show has impacted visitors and changed lives.
In our fourth segment, we'll discuss the benefits of joining the Pennsylvania Horticultural Society and the volunteering opportunities at the Flower Show.
In our final segment, we'll ask Sam about the tours, events, classes, and highlights you shouldn't miss at this year's Flower Show.
So stay tuned. We'll be back in the garden right after this.
Bloomers in the Garden is brought to you each week by Bloomers Home and Garden Center. Bloomers is an award-winning garden center just 20 minutes from Philadelphia. Bloomers has been providing expert advice, turning brown thumbs green, for over 30 years. At Bloomers, we want you to ask us every question, even if you think it's silly. We share information in a friendly, non-judgmental way that is meant to teach and spread the joy of gardening. Visit Bloomers Home and Garden Center in Washington Township, Gloucester County. For directions, go to bloomers.com. And we'll see you in the garden.
Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden.
Fertilome's Triple Action contains 70% neem oil and 0.25% pyrethrins as a concentrate and ready to spray. It is an insecticide, fungicide, and miticide labeled to use on vegetables, fruits, nuts, herbs, spices, and ornamentals. This organic OMRI-listed product controls a wide variety of insect pests and diseases, including aphids, scale, spider mites, white flies, rust, leaf spot, and powdery mildew. This insecticide is an all-in-one bottle that will cure just about any problem you may run into throughout the year. Fertilome's Triple Action has been helping gardeners across the country for years. Best to apply in late evening and early morning hours. Mix 1 ounce, which is equivalent to 2 tablespoons, in a gallon of water. The best part is, Triple Action may be used up to the day of harvest. So, the next time you are visiting your favorite garden center, ask for Fertilome's Triple Action and expect to have the best-looking plants in the neighborhood.
Church's Garden Center and Farms, Seashore Road, Cape May, New Jersey. Collegeville Do It Best, Ridge Pike, Collegeville, Pennsylvania. County Line Nursery, Harleysville Pike, Harleysville, Pennsylvania. You're listening to Bloomers in the Garden Radio. Listen anytime through your favorite podcast provider or hear us on the radio each weekend. Every Saturday morning, Bloomers in the Garden Radio is heard in Philadelphia and throughout the whole Delaware Valley, first at 8 a.m. on Talk 860 WWDB and again at 9 a.m. on AM 800 WTMR. On Sunday at 8 a.m., we can be heard through the New York Tri-State area on Classic Oldies 1250 AM WMTR. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the garden.
Welcome, everybody, to Bloomers in the Garden. Today on Bloomers in the Garden, we have a special guest, Sam Lemhenny. Sam is the chief of shows and events at the Pennsylvania Horticultural Society. That includes the annual Philadelphia Flower Show. Sam, welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden.
Thanks so much for having me back, Julio. Len, thanks so much. It's great.
Great to have you.
It is. You come from a family background, all right? So people went, who is Sam? Anyway, your whole family was in horticulture in some way, from flower shop to nursery, right?
Yeah. My grandfather on my mom's side of the family owns a landscape nursery that my uncle runs the landscaping business now out of his home in Cochranville, Pennsylvania, so out close to Lancaster County, southern Chester County. My father had a flower shop for over 30 years and now retired. Now works for Valley Forge Flowers on the main line and just keeping busy. He's in his 80s and still designing and still doing classes there.
Wow,
so
really?
It's exciting.
Great.
So yeah. I grew up in this business. I thought I would probably be in the family business. And then I took a detour when I was in college, went to University of Delaware and studied horticulture down there and plant science and did an internship at this little place in Orlando, Florida called Walt Disney World in horticulture. And I think most people have heard about it, right?
Yeah, they're known for...
And that sort of changed my whole career trajectory. I started there in horticulture. It was planting flowers, trimming topiary, trimming roses in front of Cinderella's castle, literally.
Wow.
And when I first got there, and then I shifted over and into their greens department, into their events department with horticulture, and really learned my whole big event and event production skills from that time there. And I was there 13 years, and that's when PHS came calling when I was there running their Epcot Flower and Garden Festival for about 5 years in my last part of my career at Disney. And then they came calling. Ed Lindemann, who was the designer before me and the executive director before me, was retiring after 25 years. And they asked me if I would be interested in interviewing. That was an interesting conversation that night with my wife after I got that phone call, because she had a full-time career at Disney as well, too. I'm originally from this Philadelphia area, so Philadelphia Flower Show meant a lot to me, and I was already running a flower show at Disney, and when they came calling, I was like, I think this is something we could do, and she jumped on board, and we've been up here now almost 19 years.
Let's leave Florida and go to...
Yeah, right, exactly. That was not a hard, that was not an easy conversation, that's for sure. But she's been great, supported me and through this entire thing, and was able to be a stay-home mom, which is probably busier as being a stay-home mom than working at Disney, trust me. She's super volunteer, worked at our kids' school, volunteered at our kids' school, and now she's working at our kids' school. She did a lot of volunteering and do a lot of event planning for the schools that we were at, and now she's at Bishop Shanahan, and she's their director of events, and we're excited. Yeah,
that's great.
It's her turn.
I of course am so envious of your of your life. Don't spoil it for me.
Okay,
but you also, I was reading some of the things: flower show in Singapore, Japan, South Korea. Brother.
Yeah.
Let's call Sam Lemon.
Right. You know, this Philadelphia Flower Show has given me a lot of opportunities to travel around the world, investigating themes and doing research for themes, which I pick the theme, so I get the chance to pick the countries that I want to go visit, so it's not a bad job.
Right.
But then I also get the opportunity for folks to invite me to judge different flower shows around the world, and that's a pretty special experience. Yeah. I'm very lucky to be here. The Pennsylvania Horticultural Society and the Philadelphia Flower Show has opened those doors for me, and the show is known around the world, and hopefully I've helped to sort of spread the message of the Philadelphia Flower Show to the world flower show community. And we have a lot of judges, and we partner, and I consider them colleagues that do those different flower shows, and we share ideas on designers and ideas on concepts, and we're not in competition with each other, so we share a lot of ideas on how to make our shows better.
I marvel at just, it's like, oh, this undertaking is incredible.
A lot of moving parts, that's for sure.
There is.
But nothing was more difficult than making that decision of, do we cancel?
Right.
Do we stay in the convention center, or do we move outside?
Yeah, that was probably, it was such a strange time for everybody. Never in my wildest dreams would I ever think I'd be pushed to make that decision or help to make that decision. We had our members of our board, all of our staff, really talking through that for a long time. It almost took us probably close to a month, month and a half and we actually put a process together to help us make the decision, because you can't make a decision like this with emotion. You really can't. Right. You have to make it with all the facts and all of the issues that come up about it, all the consequences, all the benefits, what are the risks. You have to lay all those out with a show this big, with the impact that it has on the Pennsylvania Horticultural Society. It is our major fundraiser for the Horticultural Society, helps provide over millions of dollars to the programs that we do each year. So it's a huge decision, and we knew we couldn't go back to the convention center. We knew that was a decision we made, but should we continue this? And with being around and being such a huge tradition in Philadelphia for almost 200 years now, 194th show is this year.
Wow.
And so it was something that we really pushed to see if we can do it. And at the end of the day, we made that decision. It was, you know, it was probably one of the hardest things and the hardest years that my team, a lot of the volunteers that spend time and switching and changing to this new brand new location and incorporating all the infrastructure that we had to incorporate. I was exhausted last year.
just finding the location.
Yeah.
When you told me it's going to be at FDR Park, I'm like, where is that?
And
I didn't even know it existed.
People in South Philly know it. That's for sure. They call it the Lakes. It's they welcomed us with open arms and we had probably 18 different locations we went and visited.
I mean,
it was that
the
detailed
parking
to figure it out.
Yeah. Was a dream, right? You know, parked at the Philly Stadium.
Yeah, we had a criteria list of probably about 30 different items that we were going through on a checklist and re-rated every single one. And again, taking the emotion out of it, FDR rose to the top of the list. And we were like, okay, we're good with this. We're okay with this. And we had to ask the Parks and Rec folks. I had to call Catherine Ott Lovell and Justin DeBaradinas, who's the director of FDR Park, and said, hey, what do you think of this idea? So during pandemic, we're all at home, and Catherine was sitting out on her deck in her back patio, I guess, and she let out this hoot. I think everybody in her neighborhood were the first to know that the flower show was going to be outside at FDR Park because she was so excited. And once we heard that response, we knew we made the right decision, and we knew that this is where we were going to be. And then we started, 9 months out, we started putting pen to paper and starting to try to move everything out there and figure it out. So it was, we were all exhausted, and I think, you know, barely getting the doors open. I think that was... We were just trying to get the doors open for everybody to keep this thing going. This year, we've had some more time, so I'm excited to talk about all the great things we've got going on this year.
We'll definitely cover that.
Yep.
Awesome.
I have to ask this question. It's on my paper, and it's the one I want. All right, flower show. We know about that. So what is your second favorite event that PHS does?
Oh, the PHS does?
Yeah.
Oh, that's an interesting. You know, We in PHS kind of consider this an event because it's pop-ups, but our pop-up gardens that we do, which are just open now, so you can get out there and see them.
I love the
pop-up gardens. They're open now. Wow. Yeah, absolutely. The one at South Street is open. The one at Manioc will open up next week. So we're here in March. So whenever you hear the show, they're definitely going to be open. So get out and see them at Manioc and at South Street.
Awesome. You know, it does.
So those are my favorite. I really do love them. I'm trying to think if there's another events that we do, but those we consider those events because they pop up and they come up and then they go away in the season. So I like them. They're good food, good drinks, good atmosphere.
Right. I can remember the first time I just happened to be walking down that street and I was with my daughter and son-in-law. And then all of a sudden I looked and I said, that's one of the pop-up gardens.
Yeah.
And I didn't even realize it was there.
Yeah.
And it was really, really cool. I mean, it was just like it sounds. It was literally a pop-up on the corner. Come on in.
Yep.
And it was an ambassador to horticulture.
Yeah. That was the whole goal. And when we first started these, I think it was almost 10 years ago that we first started the pop-up gardens. Didn't have food and beverage. It was just a pop-up garden. It was just to brighten a space, a place right near our 20th and Arch facility, or our headquarters, which is now has probably a 25-story building on it right now, but we took that lot and turned it into a garden. That's really was the plan, is to really sort of help beautify the city by taking some of these vacant lots and turning them into something special. And the one on South 15th and South has been there for a long time now, and we're there again. And then we have our site in Manioc, right off of Main Street there in Manioc, is a great location and a great site.
Yeah,
that's great.
Well, I'll tell you what, I mean, the stuff that you guys do is pretty incredible.
Thank you.
All right, we've got to take a break, and we'll be right back right after this. Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden. Coast of Maine's Organic Castine Blend Organic Raised Bed Mix is the best soil for raised bed gardens, planter boxes, and container gardens. It grows amazing vegetables. It is made with a mixture of manure compost, worm castings, lobster and kelp meal, mycorrhiza, green sand, and biochar. It's ready to use straight out of the bag with no need for additional components or tilling. If you love growing fresh and hearty vegetables, herbs, and flowers, Coast of Maine's Castine Blend Organic Raised Bed Mix is the perfect choice for you. At Coast of Maine, we believe in growing organically and buying locally. Castine Organic Raised Bed Mix can be found at these fine stores.
Sickles Market, Little River, New Jersey. Espen Shades Garden Centers and Greenhouse, Fleetwood, Pennsylvania. Pickering Valley Feed and Farm, Exton, Pennsylvania.
Your next houseplant is waiting for you in Bloomers Home and Garden Center's greenhouse. Bloomers recognizes that houseplant choices are as important to your interior decorating as the fabric on your couch. The right plant paired with the perfect container can bring a dynamic change to your home. A houseplant brings life to your world and connects your home's interior to the greater outdoors. Even a small succulent placed on your coffee table has a way of connecting your living room to the Amazon rainforest. How about an air plant in your kitchen? Looking for an indoor flowering plant to add color to your plant palette? Bloomers has a large revolving assortment of flowering beauties. From aglaonemas to zizi plants, Bloomers Greenhouse is stocked with your next favorite indoor plant. Bloomers carries a large selection of pottery and containers to match your home's decor and make any of your plants more beautiful. Bloomers experts can help you care for your plants and have the fertilizer, insecticides, leaf shine, and specialty soils you need to grow healthy and happy indoor plants. Visit Bloomers Home and Garden Center's greenhouse and make every room in your home a living room. Visit bloomers.com for more information. That's bloomers.com, and we'll see you in the garden. You're listening to Bloomers in the Garden Radio. Listen anytime through your favorite podcast provider or hear us on the radio each weekend. Every Saturday morning, Bloomers in the Garden Radio is heard in Philadelphia and throughout the whole Delaware Valley, first at 8 a.m. on Talk 860 WWDB and again at 9 a.m. on AM 800 WTMR. On Sunday at 8 a.m., we can be heard through the New York tri-state area on Classic Oldies, 1250 a.m. WMTR. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the garden. Back to Bloomers in the Garden. Sam, when we left off, we were talking about the challenges of going from an indoor facility to now outdoors.
Right.
One thing we didn't mention, weather. Did you have any major... I'll save a story that I have.
Yeah. We did have some weather last year. Yeah, it was, you know, in March, you always watch for snow. That's the weather that you're right? looking for in March when we have the flower show at the convention center and plan around that. Here, we didn't think we were going to get close to 100 degrees for four days straight. Never in my wildest dreams would I thought. I thought rain would be a big issue.
Right.
We only had rain one day, and we had lightning. We had to evacuate because of lightning, because of safety, and we, you know, that's one reason.
That
but
day.
You did, you were, yeah.
That day.
Yeah, the team, man, pretty special to get everybody out of there that day for the lightning. But anyway, the heat was the biggest issue. We are adding more shade and obviously access to water and all that kind of fun stuff and water. You know, you couldn't have drinking fountains last year.
Right.
You just weren't allowed. That's from a safety standpoint, from a COVID standpoint. We couldn't even have. So when it got to be 100 degrees, we're like, well, where's the drinking fountains? They're like, we can't do it. So we had cases of water out that where people could grab a glass of water. So we hope, knock on wood, that this the weather will be what early June is supposed to be, which is 80 degrees and nice and no humidity. And it was brutal.
I was there. Right.
Yeah.
And let's just say I had a special somebody that I was with for a first time that, you know, present flower show. Brett, by the way, flower show. I tell you this every year, the perfect date site.
It is,
okay,
absolutely.
The perfect date site. So this year, you make sure you take your girl.
That's right. I'll make sure to take my girlfriend, Ashley.
That's right. I'm going to ask her.
I'll get you tickets. You'll be fine.
All right. Well, you know, you're nervous. I mean, I haven't. All right, I'll say it. I haven't dated somebody in 50 years.
Right.
Okay. 40.
Okay.
Anyway. I'm wearing long pants.
Oh, gosh.
I'm wearing long pants, and I am sweltering, just dripping with sweat.
Yes.
Not my impressive best look.
Yeah, that was unheard of. That was the earliest heat wave we've ever had. Adam Joseph told me that. I swear, he said it was the earliest heat wave we'd ever had.
And then, so things are going okay. And then we go up to the boathouse. Describe what the boathouse is.
So the boathouse is this great pavilion style brick structure. It's beautiful architecture that anchors one of the areas of the show. And we actually use it as a bar restaurant. This year, it's going to be revamped. We're adding a little bit more space out over the stairs and creating. And it has the best view of the show, right? So it elevates you up probably about 20 feet in the air on this pavilion, and you look out over the balcony, and you can see the entire design area all the way back towards the museum, the American Swedish Historical Museum, which is the other anchor of the show. This is the best view of the show, and it's a great place. And you can look out over the lakes, which people in South Philly affectionately call FDR Park, the lakes. That's what it's called in South Philly. So you can look out over the lake and also then look back on the other side and see the entire show. It's the best view of the show.
Well, I was there, and then, like you said, that where the wind started picking up and things were going good. Yeah. It's like, you know, and then all of a sudden they closed it down. And it's like, this is fate. This is not meant to be.
But I will say the plants loved it.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, plants loved the rain, like the water, the rain, the sun, the heat.
They cut flowers in the full sun at 100 degrees.
Not cut flowers. Well, we didn't have too many cut flowers last year, but all the plants that were growing and in the ground and that we had planted for the show, man, they looked great after the heat wave. They loved it.
Yeah. The lilies, that's the good whole section of where the lilies were. That was my favorite.
Oh, my God. The scent, the smell over there.
Yeah.
It was gorgeous.
It has nothing to do with what Bloomer's logo is based on. But anyway. And then this year, you've got the new restaurant called The Lakes.
Yes. Yep.
Which
affectionately called The Lakes.
You're going to be able to seat 300.
Yes. Yeah. So Spectra Brulee does all of our catering. Chef Lacroix, who's there, does all the menus, and really special menu that they're creating for this sit down restaurant that we feel is going to be a really great experience. It's tented, so it's under the shade with fans.
Right.
There's seats that are outside of the tent that have umbrellas. So this is going to be a great experience for folks who want to sit down and enjoy. We had the sit down area at the boathouse last year, and it just became overcrowded, not big enough. So we moved it to a bigger location over where the on the east side of the west side of the show. So really excited about that restaurant, and they have a great menu and can't wait. Folks can just come in and make a reservation and sit down and have a great meal.
I noticed that the vibe of the outdoor show is much more relaxed and like you want to kind of wander and take your time. Like I remember that all the shows at the convention center was, you know, you followed a path and you started, when you got at the end, you left.
Yeah, right. You know? No, this is, we want you to stay, linger. I mean, we're setting up, obviously that restaurant gives you a chance to stay for a little bit longer. We have our food bazaar. Food bazaar is on the east side of the show. It all seating, all shade, great variety and diverse foods from Asian style to Latino style to vegan and vegetarian style. Like,
is that called
Italian? It's called
section?
The Food Bazaar.
Okay.
And then the heart of the Food Bazaar, where all the seating areas, we're going to put a main stage, and we're going to rotate music and bands every day. There's three different bands rotating through.
Is it specific time or?
It's all day. There'll be music playing all day long from the time we open until the time we close.
That's great.
There'll be music playing and live music and really sort of just create that ambiance to stick around and enjoy the outside and enjoy the weather and enjoy the flower show and you know, great drinks, great food, great variety of food there from, you know, South Philly is such a huge diverse population.
Right.
And so we want to represent that at the flower show, and we are representing that from all the different cultures that are represented down there at FDR Park and at the flower show.
That's fantastic.
So that's what you learned, huh? To bring in that food and all the entertainment, you know, and all that?
To give people places and time to relax, and we felt like people were starting to do that last year, where we didn't experience that at the flower show indoors, right? So
right.
We didn't really design that into it or had a chance to design that into it last year. I think we were just trying to get the doors open, believe it, Len and Hoyle. It was a crazy time to plan that show in less than 9 months. But this year we actually have had a chance to sit back, think, learn, see the experience, actually listen to the visitors as well. It's been huge. Mm-hmm. The visitors have no problems at the flower show telling us what they think. They feel a part of the show.
Feel great here. hearing the complaints or criticisms. It's, you know, do you have any idea what we went through?
Exactly. But it's important because they help support the show. They come back every single year. And so we know that. And so we listen and we want to make sure that we're doing the things that they feel
and you
like.
You want to hear their expectations.
Absolutely. Right? Yes. Absolutely. And we have to make sure we're planning around that. And we do that every year. We do surveys. And social media has allowed us to hear a lot more feedback than we have in the past. So it's been good. And we've had and made a lot of enhancements and changes. I know parking and traffic were a little bit of an issue last year because other events are going on. There will be other events going on as well down there in the sports complex. There will be a couple of Phillies games. Yeah. There's a couple of concerts. But we're working with the sports complex. We've been started working with them way earlier, doing a lot more things with the Phillies and Wells Fargo.
And it's as far as you can get from the stadium, so it's not.
Right. And so we've had other plans to manage the traffic a little bit better. Right. So you're not sitting out on Broad or Patterson for long periods of time. Mm-hmm. The experience from the parking lot as you're walking to the main gate, we're having volunteers stationed so they can help direct you and guide you and tell you how long, you know, all the great things that are happening at the flower show that are coming up. So we're really trying to add and create that experience from the time you get out of your car to the time, from the time you get off 95 or get off the Platte Bridge or come from the city or get off the public transportation, which I highly recommend. The Broad Street line ends right there. They decorate the station. Amtrak, SEPTA is SEPTA is an amazing partner with us.
Walt Whitman Bridge. Yeah,
you can buy tickets through SEPTA, but you also they decorate the station right there at Broad Street and with balloons, and you make it feels like they're part of the show. So they're a great partner for us.
That's great. All right, we've got to take another break, but when we come back, you talked about what you do surveys and things, but we're going to talk about some of the personal things that have happened to people who attend or stories that you've been told about the flower show over the years. We'll be right back right after this. Fertilum Rosen Flower Food with Systemic Insecticide 14-12-11 contains 5 micronutrients which are designed for roses and provide proper nutrients in producing stunning green leaves, essential new growth, while protecting the plant from damaging insects for up to 8 weeks. Fertilum Rosen Flower contains 14% nitrogen for green growth, building bigger canes, stems, and leaves, 12% phosphorus for root growth and increased flower production, 11% potash to promote vigorous growth so plants are better able to resist disease and cold. The micronutrients are the icing on the cake to enhance further growth, strengthen, and beautiful color to your plant. Tired of seeing your roses prematurely drop their leaves and the flowers disappear? Fertilum Rosen Flower Food contains an easy-to-apply insecticide that keeps your roses looking great all year long. Those hungry Japanese beetles don't have a chance. Apply it in spring before buds sprout and continue through the season as indicated on the labeling guide. Fertilum Rosen Flower Food 14-12-11 with micronutrients and systemic insecticide is a must for the passionate flower grower to help produce that beautiful abundance of color and fantastic fragrance everyone will love. It's available at these great stores: Neighbors Garden Center, Main Street, Hellertown, PA; Rhodes Garden, Delcab Pike, North Wales, Pennsylvania; Rourke Farm Supply, Elmer, New Jersey.
Captain's Log, Day 97, searching for the seeds of a natural pesticide.
Hey there, it's Captain Jack, ecologist and gardener. I was deep in the search for a natural pesticide when I took a break in the shade of a neem tree, and it hit me. A neem seed. Neem seeds contain an oil so effective at killing insects, it's the active ingredient in my Neem Max concentrate. Captain Jack's Neem Max is made with cold-pressed neem oil, which is even more effective at killing insects and controlling fungus than the other neem oils on the market. Best of all, it's approved for organic gardening. I've traveled the world to find the best solutions for natural gardening. And let me tell you, the best pesticide really does grow on trees. Captain Jack's Neem Max.
Protect your oasis with Captain Jack's Neem Max from Bonide, trusted since 1926. Visit your local hardware store or garden center today, or learn more at CaptainJacks.com.
Welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden. I'm Len, Julio, and Sam. Sam is the magic man for the flower show, Philadelphia Flower Show.
Yes.
The flower show had an impact this past year on my personal life, which I was curious if Sam had stories of people who got married or had life-changing things, not just, oh, the flowers are pretty, but had things that have affected them the rest of their lives. I'm hoping you have stories because we didn't really prepare for this.
We do. The flower show is a pretty special place for a lot of people. And sometimes we hear the stories, and I know there's many that we don't hear because they come, so many people come to the flower show that But we have had a number of weddings. A couple of our exhibitors have actually gotten married at the flower show. They, Bill and Chris Schaefer got married during our Hawaii theme show, and we made a big spectacle of it. They actually were all for it. We were like, okay, well, let's promote. This could be a fun thing to do. And they had a great time, and they celebrate their anniversary now every March at the flower show.
Yeah,
so
something.
Really something special that the show. And I you know, the show has been around for so long. It's fun. And when I meet folks on the show floor or on the show site, and you talk to them and you see the different generations that are together, three, possibly sometimes even four generations of people coming and having a day out and enjoying the flower show because grandma or great grandma has been to the flower show every year and bringing her kids and making sure that that tradition continues. And we're very lucky when it comes to that. And that is something that most events around the world you don't have. And we're pretty special and pretty lucky to have that tradition that come to the flower show. And your moment is pretty special. It's that those are the kinds of things that get me up in the morning and make me feel good about what we do here at the flower show.
And those of our listeners that are regular listeners, you know that a couple of things. One that what you probably don't know is my wife passed away in January. But she had had Alzheimer's for 10 years, and that towards the end, you know, it was that everybody's had somebody who has been affected by Alzheimer's, or and that where, you know, that person, that loved one is just not there, and that you're doing care and you're doing those things every day, but it's pretty one-sided, and that I stepped out of a comfort zone, and it was the start of something great, and it has made my life infinitely better. And that it was, I thought about, you know, what had happened, and the first person I thought of was you. And because all I'm thinking is, like, this is inspiration for your staff to understand, like, it's more than just the exhibitors. It's more than just the, you know, it's there's more going on underneath the surface. And like at the break, I was talking about how like I always picture the crowd, and I wonder where the pop-up bubbles are that said, you know, I was depressed on my way here, and now it's gone.
Yeah,
you know, and all those things that changes lives.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, we have. I mean, we've had several weddings at the flower show, but we've also had. I mean, I can't probably countless amounts of engagements that have happened at the flower show too, And sometimes you know about them and they let you know that they're coming, and other times you don't, and you just see a guy on his knee. You're like, oh, well, there's another one. That's another engagement. So your story was definitely inspiring for my team. You shared it with me in an email, and I shared it with them, and that was definitely inspiring. And a lot of people say that this flower show is about the plants and flowers, but us that are close to it and work on it every single day know that it's about the people, and it's about the visitors that come. It's about the experiences that we're creating for them, the smiles that we put on their faces, but it's also all the people behind the scenes that really, truly have the passion, the dedication that they put towards this event and really own this event that is second to none. And we talked earlier that I've been to a number of different flower shows around the world, and that part of our show is unique, and it makes our show that much more special and is why we've been around for so long, because of that experience that those people have when they come to the flower show. We're very lucky.
You know, and I see the roots of that going through the flower show into the rest of PHS.
Yeah.
People don't realize how much that PHS does, and we're going to get into it in a little bit. But it's an organization that people think, oh, the Horticultural Society, there's now the third, you know. but it's not like that at all.
No.
Not even a little bit.
Yeah, and that's the image that sometimes we, you know, the flower show from its past gives, and most people know us through the flower show, but there's so much more, and we will talk about it. We'll get into a lot of the different programs. The flower show is a fundraiser for all the amazing programs that we do out in Philadelphia and the surrounding counties to help make the city more beautiful, have a bigger impact with plants and flowers on everybody's lives, because we know that, and the pandemic has proven that. We've known it for almost 200 years. So many people, I know your business, everybody in the horticulture business, the business is booming. People are scrambling to get plants, and they just want that. And when they couldn't leave and couldn't go out anywhere, they were trying to bring nature in. And so improving their gardens and their spaces at home because they couldn't travel, or bringing plants inside to help bring nature in because they were sitting in front of the computer all day.
That's right.
And the plants actually do help you relieve your stress. I grew up in this industry. We talked about that earlier. Pulling weeds is the bane of my existence. But I actually, during the pandemic, I was like, I can't believe I'm going to say this out loud. I actually enjoyed pulling weeds. I might get back to the other bane of my existence. But it's such an important piece, and we've known this at PHS and all the programs that we do with the community gardens, the tree tenders, the garden tenders, the land care program that we do, the public gardens that we take care of. We know that the impact that plants have on people, on everybody's life, and it improves the health and well-being of every person that it touches.
Yeah. All right, that's a good place to stop because we're going to pick up on that theme right after these messages.
Hey there, it's Captain Jack, ecologist and gardener. I was deep in the search for a natural pesticide when I took a break in the shade of a neem tree, and it hit me. A neem seed. Neem seeds contain an oil so effective at killing insects, it's the active ingredient in my Neem Max concentrate. Captain Jack's Neem Max is made with cold-pressed neem oil, which is even more effective at killing insects and controlling fungus than the other neem oils on the market. Best of all, it's approved for organic gardening. I've traveled the world to find the best solutions for natural gardening. And let me tell you, the best pesticide really does grow on trees. Captain Jack's Neem Max.
Protect your oasis with Captain Jack's Neem Max from Bonide. Trusted since 1926. Visit your local hardware store or garden center today. Or learn more at CaptainJacks.com.
Welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden. Sam, becoming a member of the Pennsylvania Horticultural Society gives you benefits, opportunities, and discounts not available to the general public, huh?
This is true. Yeah, we have about 15,000 members that join us. And, you know, the main reason you join PHS is really to help support all the great programs we do. The Philadelphia Flower Show is a fundraiser. Mm-hmm. Membership is definitely a fundraiser to help us do the things we do out there to help have the biggest impact we can to the most amount of people. So by becoming a member, you help us do that. The different levels, you know, depending on your budget, there are many different levels of membership that you can do, and it has a lot of different levels of benefits. You do get access to some free programming. You do get access to discounted programming. You do get flower show tickets. Like, there's a lot of different ways, but really the main reason to join PHS is to help us do the great work that we're doing and have the biggest impact that we can possibly have.
It's, again, it's amazing. Again, we keep talking about the different programs. In break, we mentioned Roots to Reentry.
Yes.
That is my pet favorite thing that you do. And Roots to Reentry, and correct me if I have any of this wrong, it basically is taking people that need direction. Maybe I'll just turn it over to you. You explain what Roots to Reentry, because I don't want to.
Yeah, this is a program that we started a couple of years ago. Keith Green and his team, Tim Majoris, have a training program that take folks who are down on their luck, recently incarcerated, and create a training program of teaching them horticulture, gardening skills, the basics of how to potentially become a gardener, but also life skills, job skills, interview skills, and then help to place them in jobs in the future. And so this is a great program. Training program actually happening at FDR Park this year. We just moved it there because the headquarters is there and we're having the flower show there. So they're able to do a lot of things down there to help FDR improve and do some of the training of pruning trees and planting some things and doing some different gardening techniques that they can learn while being on at FDR Park. So we're excited about that. And this program has grown, and it is a huge impact on the individuals that have it. And you talked about what's one of my favorite events, that graduation. Is a favorite event for a lot of people at PHS to watch those folks graduate from that program and get their certificate and then move on to better and brighter things.
They learn a skill.
Yep.
They have one of the preeminent, I mean, if you have PHS on your resume,
right.
Yeah, you're hired.
Yeah, right.
that the reincarceration rate is like so low.
Right.
Compared to what the general population would be.
Yep.
It is a fantastic and just really as a Delaware Valley person, you know, thank you for being a positive influence.
Well, Keith and Julianne, who run all of our garden programs, and that team and Tim and all the folks that run that, it's a special, you know, talk about the people and the impact that it has on people and that they and what they're giving back every day. Way special. I feel humbled to actually even be in the same office as them.
I know that. I tried to see if we could hire any. Your folks are gobbled up so quick, you know, by, you know, just, it's incredible. I mean, the largest landscape companies in the country are just taking them.
Well, we need, and this industry is struggling right now with needing people. I know you and I were talking about this during the break. It's definitely something that's needed, and this is a great way to hopefully give back and put some folks back to work.
Yeah. There's City Harvest.
Yeah.
Explain City Harvest.
So City Harvest is a harvest. We've shortened it now to Harvest. It's a program where during the pandemic, we wanted to, people were spending a lot of time at home. Vegetable gardening was becoming a bigger trend and, growing your own food. We all know when you plant one tomato, you plant seven.
Right.
Because we have to have seven tomatoes. And right. you literally can't eat the tomatoes off of seven plants, one family. It's impossible. So
right.
You always need a place to donate that. So we've created a system and a program that helps get people to donate their excess produce and their food. We want them to grow their food. We want them to do that and help give back to the food banks that are around the area. And so we've kind of created this network of give back that then eventually gets to some of the food kitchens and the food cupboards to help provide fresh produce to folks in need. And some of the, you know, you call food deserts and vegetable deserts. There definitely are many of them in the city where they don't have any place to grow, and they don't even have access to fresh produce.
Exactly.
And
so food drives, but it's always canned stuff, not fresh.
Correct. Nothing tastes better than a fresh tomato and cut out. It's just great. So that's the program. That's Harvest, and that's what it has sort of shifted to and managed to now that once the pandemic hit, we sort of shifted that a little bit.
Now, I'm not sure how it works, but the Garden Capital USA.
Yeah, American Gardens Capital. Yeah, we're part of that. Meadowbrook Farm is our public garden that we have up in Abington, and the Pennsylvania Horticultural Society, because of the flower show and because of all the public spaces that we help maintain, are a part of that. It's Longwood's a part of it, Chanticleer, Morris Arboretum. Within the 30-mile radius, I think it's 30-mile radius.
Right.
I think there's like 60 different gardens out here. I mean, that's why we call America's. And so it's a consortium of all of us to get together, market that, and sort of, tourism folks
and,
to get people to come and visit the gardens because it's gorgeous.
From central Jersey through all of Delaware Valley into Delaware. Yep. And I have a passport.
Yeah.
And I go and I proudly put my passport on to get my stamp. And what you get is something that looks like a passport, and it has the listing of all of the arboretums, all of the gardens that you can go to. And then it's become fun for me to go and want to visit each one.
It's like visiting the national parks when you have your passport for the national parks. You can do it with all the great, amazing public gardens that are here in the Delaware Valley, and it's some pretty special places. You know, you think of Longwood; it's just one of the plethora of gardens that are around
here.
That's what everybody says.
Oh, Longwood! You know,
but there's so many.
I went to Tyler Arbor.
Yeah,
I had the best time.
Yeah,
and it's just lots.
And they
of
have
beach.
Great programs and great. Look them up. Everybody. We all are in this together, and it's all about.
Right.
Putting plants in people's hands and getting in the garden and the impact that it has on your health and well-being, as well as everybody else's health and well-being. The Horticultural Society has known that for almost 200 years. It's just an important place, and they believe that, and we just got to get more people to think about that, because this place will be a much better place.
Absolutely.
This world would be a much better world, not only from a health and well-being standpoint, but from an environment standpoint. It's just it's an important piece.
It is. And again, the events that in the classes and all of what PHS does, it's got something for everybody, and that
every level too.
Exactly. I was involved with one of the big nurseries, Monrovia Nursery. I was at one time on their retailer council, and that it was when it was first getting started, and they did a study on gardening about how, you know, do you consider yourself a master gardener,
right?
And that the master gardeners who are master gardeners did not think of themselves as master gardeners. And that so many people starting out get intimidated, like, oh, I don't know, or I'm afraid to ask. And Julio constantly, that's why we do this show, is that we want, you know, the everyday folks who may be intimidated to go to a garden center to get over that, you know?
We like the term And Seth Pearsall, who's our design director, he's really extremely creative. So all of his design work you see at the flower show is unbelievable. And he leads that team and picks all the designers. But he coined this phrase, plant curious.
That's great.
And, and this is what I think most people think of themselves at. Like, myself, I have a hard time calling myself a gardener. Uh-huh. And I don't think many people call themselves a gardener, let alone a master gardener, right?
Right.
But we're all curious. We all love plants. And so plant curious is one of those terms that we've kind of embraced a little bit on the internal side of things. That sort of describes most people, because we all love plants. We all love horticulture. We love gardening. We have probably tried our hand at it a little bit, and we need you to do it more. It shouldn't be that hard, and it shouldn't be scary. Yeah. Stop.
Right. Don't be intimidated.
No.
I am a third generation nurseryman who has had a family that for three generations have owned garden centers either in North Jersey or me in South Jersey. And I'm intimidated by college girls who come in and know the botanical names of all of the houseplants.
Yeah, right.
You know, TikTok and all of those things. Right. It's like Monstera Monday.
Seth and I were just having this conversation the other day about how a lot of our friends who were never into horticulture because of TikTok, because of Instagram, because of social media,
right,
now are asking us questions like, real questions. You're like, wait, where did this come from? This is actually a real question, not like, oh, what's your favorite color? Like, these are real questions on how to grow, what fertilizer to use, what soils to use, how do I prune this? When do I prune it? Like, these are real questions that people who never asked us those questions are now asking us those questions, and they're real questions.
I had somebody call yesterday looking for 50-pound bags of different, cottonseed meal. Do you have 50-pound bags of cottonseed meal? It's like, I have 4 pounds. But,
right.
Do you have, and like asking for all of these different components.
Right.
It's like they were making 500 pounds of fertilizer. What are you doing?
Well, and the good thing, now we're talking, people are really shifting. They don't want to use the chemicals. They want to be more organic. And that's, you can be. And you and I both know that. You know, there's certain times where you have to do spot checks and spot, do some things to help that.
Right.
But at the end of the day, being organic is the right thing to do, and it's the right way to do it. And it's not hard. It really isn't. And having bugs in your garden is a good thing.
Yeah,
right.
You know, out of control in certain ones. Yeah. Those. It's not a bad thing. So,
no, it isn't.
And the pollinators, the butterflies, you need that. Yeah, and once you start spraying willy-nilly,
it kills
everything, right? So you got to be careful of that.
Like I'll say to people coming in, they're talking about weeds.
Yep.
I said, it's part of gardening.
Yes.
That's part of it. And you enjoy it.
Enjoy it. It's only a weed if you don't like it. That's if you don't like it, pull it. That's pull fine. It you can pull whatever you want. Yeah. But if you enjoy it, enjoy it.
Bad.
I have clover in my lawn. I like it. Yeah. Actually, it adds some texture to the lawn. I don't like it all being one big giant green texture. I like it. It's okay.
Well, they're very philosophical. very zen-like. In every life, a weed must grow.
There you go.
All right, we've got to go to break. We'll be right back right after this. From tomatoes and vegetables, roses and flowers, as well as acid-loving plants, Coast of Maine brand has an all-natural soil for all of your outdoor planting needs. Coast of Maine's tomato vegetable planting soil is uniquely crafted for plentiful and more flavorful vegetables. It contains compost, lobster meal, peat moss, and lime, combining the perfect blend of ingredients to grow plentiful tomatoes and vegetables. Coast of Maine's rose and flower planting soil is a blend for all rose varieties, flowering shrubs, annuals, and perennials. It is naturally lightweight and contains just the right amount of nutritional balance to get your beautiful flowers off to a great start. Coast of Maine planting soil for acid-loving plants is made with premium ingredients and contains compost, peat moss, and aged bark. Coast of Maine soils can be found at
Doffers of Kissel Hill Home and Garden Store, Rorristown, Pennsylvania, Ashcombe Farm and Greenhouses, Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania, Pickering Valley Feed and Farm, Exton, Pennsylvania.
Wanting to up your game in the vegetable garden? With 90 years of organic gardening experience, the Espoma Company has you covered. Espoma Organic Garden Tone is not your average garden variety fertilizer. Garden Tone is especially blended for organic vegetable gardens. Its all-natural formula contains Biotone, a blend of organic ingredients that supplies essential nutrients for strong, healthy plants and mouth-watering vegetables. Its slow-release formula provides continuous feeding. The Biotone contained in Garden Tone is a combination of organic ingredients and beneficial
microbes to help roots grow deeper and faster for bigger, more bountiful harvest. Garden Tone is simple to use and safe for people, pets, and the planet. No harmful chemicals or synthetic fertilizers are ever added. You can find Garden Tone at fine garden centers. Visit Espoma.com to find a retailer near you. Garden Tone from Espoma, a natural in the garden since 1929.
Welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden. Well, this year's flower show in full bloom.
Yes.
That's the theme. That's the name. How did you get there?
So in full bloom, we have had, thinking about this, normally we pick our themes and we've had this conversation 3+ years out. And when the pandemic hit, it sort of put a little bit of a damper on things of us just trying to get the doors open last year. Right. So when we started seeing a lot of the research and seeing the horticulture industry boom and seeing a lot of people turning to plants and horticulture, we knew that this theme and the words were very different. We had a huge list of different words to use. Mm-hmm. But we landed on in full bloom because, one, it's a promise to the visitor. Hey, this flower show is known for flowers, it's going to be in full bloom this year. Trust, it's going to be amazing. And the designs that Seth and the team have done, when you first walk in, these flower fields that are just going to be gorgeous in full bloom, reds, oranges, pinks, mm-hmm. really going to be pretty special that you're going to get to walk through. But as gardeners, we all know that in full bloom, when you hear if a plant is in full bloom or your garden is in full bloom, it is at its peak health and it's at peak top condition. And so many people turn to horticulture and gardening that we felt like, you know what, this is a good representation of how people actually felt in full bloom. And what's your full bloom? How are you staying in full bloom during the pandemic? And a lot of people turned to plants and horticulture and brought indoor plants inside, planted their decks, planted their patios, their stoops, their balconies, improved their gardens because of that. And the horticulture industry has been booming. And so that's what the flower show, the designers at the flower show are going to showcase. We have a great lineup of designers this year. The international designers are coming back. We were able to travel this year, so we have a few folks from the UK. Really important that we have a diverse group of designers as well. So we have mm-hmm. the most women designers we've ever had at one time at the flower show. So really having some special voices and some special people design some gardens that are really going to tell that story of in full bloom and that deeper meaning of in full bloom.
Wow, that's great. The the events, is the event list longer this year?
Yeah.
I was going to say.
Last year, because we couldn't do all, a lot of the workshops and then demonstrations and things that we typically do for people to learn and how to garden and get to become a better garden, we couldn't do last year because of the pandemic. We weren't allowed to have people gather that close. And so we weren't able to plan that. So this year, now that we've had the time and we knew that we would be able to do that, we planned for all of that. So Butterflies Live is coming back, or was there last year, and so was the potting parties. Those are the only two things we did last year. Limited attendance in both. This year, full open. We added an artisan row this year where we're bringing in vendors, crafters, that you can create your own flower crown, fresh flower crown. You can create a dried bouquet. You can create your own flower-scented candle and take it home with you. So this is a great experience. There's a little lounge in there. Talk about the zen part of things. It's like, it's really sort of getting you in touch with nature and actually helping you to become part of the flower show and sort of, really get that creativity that you just saw in the gardens and sort of give you a little bit of an outlet to be your own creative genius here at the flower show.
I think the smartest thing for somebody to do, and all those of you in North Jersey, New York, Connecticut that are listening, you need to come down early and take one of the early morning tours.
Yes. Yeah, the early morning tours are a great tradition at the flower show. It gets you in before we open the doors to the public. You have a 2-hour tour with one of our trained volunteers who have been around for years, who know the flower show in and out, and they give you a tour of the show. They give you the behind the scenes. They actually come the week before during setup and talk to the designers, get their stories of the designers, what the designers went through to get to where they were. So you hear all that on the tours. And it's a great, it's $110, I think.
Yeah.
But it's the best best value for your money at the flower show.
Does that include admission?
Yeah, it does. Absolutely. Okay. So you pay $110, you get the tour, and then you get to spend the rest of the day at the show. You can come and go, come to the show instead of spend the rest of the day and go grab coffee and grab some lunch. And then you can go over to the food bazaar and grab some great drinks and listen to some great music. We have a band's going to play every single day over there.
And stay overnight in Philadelphia.
Yeah, absolutely. Grab a hotel room and stay overnight.
Yeah, Philly is open.
Yes, we are.
It's a great staycation.
Yeah.
The flower show gives you a great reason to come to Philly to have a great staycation.
That's true. Ooh, never thought about that. All right. I said I'm going to the flower show. No, not the preview party. I may go to that. But that's pretty. Is that invitation only?
It is not, but it's a fundraiser, so it's $500 a ticket.
Black tie. I am not going to that. Okay,
but it is one of our big fundraisers. So if you can afford that, we would love to for you to come.
Flowers after hours,
dining under the stars. Yeah. Wear your best haute couture. It's an amazing event.
I've got mine on right now. Blue jeans and a t-shirt. Flowers after hours, though.
Yes. Yeah.
I think I am absolutely going to that.
So June 18th, the last Saturday of the Flower Show, we have Flowers After Hours, and this is a very different way to experience the Flower Show. You know, you come to the Flower Show, you see the gardens, and you're there during the day, and it's sort of a one experience. But at the Flower Show, people tend to let loose a little bit. It's a little bit more casual. We have great music. Snack Time Philly, DJ Diamond Cuts is going to be performing that night.
Oh, awesome.
The theme this year, we have a different theme every year,
okay.
And it has become a tradition now. We've been doing this show for a number of years, this event for a number of years, that everybody dresses up, and they dress to the theme. So we've done different decades.
Oh,
so people have dressed to the 80s. They've dressed to the 90s.
This
year
is
called Let's
80s.
Glow.
Let's Glow.
And
wow.
So your best glow-in-the-dark
there you go.
Costume dress. You know, add LED lights to your hat, to your headpieces, to your coats. I'm gonna be glowing. Let me tell you that. You gotta come see me. I'll be there. It's gonna be fun. We have fireworks. We're gonna do all kinds of great things. Great food, great music, great dancing. Right. It's just a different way to
get
experience.
Your light
and it's 21
show.
And over.
It is. Yes.
So this is not a BYOB.
It is not. No, we have some great partners that will be sharing some of their libations, and then you get to enjoy that in the garden. It's a great time. It's one of my staff's favorite times, and I have to sort of. I said, remember, we're still working, but it's one of their favorite. It's one of their favorite events as well.
Well, that's something I definitely am looking forward to. All right, we unfortunately have to go for break. We've talked a lot, and that we're going to be back right after this.
Captain's Log, Day 97, searching for the seeds of a natural pesticide.
Hey there, it's Captain Jack, ecologist and gardener. I was deep in the search for a natural pesticide when I took a break in the shade of a neem tree, and it hit me. A neem seed. Neem seeds contain an oil so effective at killing insects, it's the active ingredient in my Neem Max concentrate. Captain Jack's Neem Max is made with cold-pressed neem oil, which is even more effective at killing insects and controlling fungus than the other neem oils on the market. Best of all, it's approved for organic gardening. I've traveled the world to find the best solutions for natural gardening. And let me tell you, the best pesticide really does grow on trees. Captain Jack's Neem Max.
Protect your oasis with Captain Jack's Neem Max from Bonide. Trusted since 1926. Visit your local hardware store or garden center today. Or learn more at CaptainJacks.com.
Welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden. Sam, thank you for being our guest. And,
yes, Sam.
And we
thank
have
you.
To say, let's see. So, Philadelphia Flower Show dates June 11th
to the 19th. The tickets are on sale now, phsonline.org. You can get all the information, and all the ticket information is all right there. Come on, let's go.
Yes,
we're going to have
excited.
This great show, and we can't wait. It's going to be the experience is. We've learned a lot from last year. It's going to be even a better experience
better,
this year. We can't wait.
I can't wait. I can't wait. Julio?
Yeah.
Oh. You going?
Oh, I think I might.
I'll make you go.
You might.
You have to go for work.
Here we go. Yeah,
thank you.
You've got to go to that party for work. There you go.
What, the one that, the glow?
The glow? You'd be perfect. All right, everybody, you can listen to us as Bloomers in the Garden right here or on your favorite podcast provider. If you've got questions, call us. We'll see you in the garden.
See you in the garden.